John chapter number 6, verse number 22 says, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. And after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people thereof therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What work shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And this morning I'm preaching simply on the enduring meat in Christ. And just, are you following Jesus? And if so, why? In this scene, Jesus and the disciples had crossed the sea in this miraculous event that we have in the verses preceding our text this morning, where Jesus sent the disciples across the sea and they entered a great storm, and then lo and behold, there's Jesus walking on the water. And when Jesus came to them in the boat, they were immediately on the shore and they had made it to the other side. Well, the next morning, the people who had so desired to make Jesus king looked for him, and he wasn't there. They saw and knew that Jesus sent the disciples in the boat and sent them across, but Jesus stayed. And they knew that he didn't ride with them and he didn't go with them. And so the next morning they took off and they said, let's go on the other side of the sea and we'll find Jesus. And there was Jesus. And they were confused. Well, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, how'd you get over here? There wasn't any natural explanation of how Jesus got across the sea, and they were confused and they were filled with wonder. They were curious as to what happened. And no doubt I would have been curious, and you know, I probably would have asked the same question. But it's interesting to see here that Jesus doesn't satisfy man's vain curiosity about his spiritual things. People have a lot of vain questions about the Bible and about God. And we just looked at on Sunday nights about the questions that people ask that are unprofitable. Well, this was really an unprofitable question, and the Lord shows that because it was just a curiosity that they had. It wasn't profitable for them at this moment to know how he got across the sea. And you would have thought that, well, if it had been anybody else, any man, he said, well, I walked across the water and shown that miracle. But Jesus doesn't satisfy the vain curiosity of just any person who asked a question. That miracle was for the disciples at that time, and it's for us today, but for the people at this time in that place, it wasn't for them. And God didn't reveal that to them at this time in this place. And so Jesus doesn't answer their question and doesn't even really acknowledge it, their question. So rather than tell them the answer to the question they ask, Jesus tells them what they really need to be thinking about and shows them what the real important matters are here. They want to know how Jesus got across the sea. And Jesus says, well, I want to know why you care in the first place. You're asking me how I got over here. I'm asking you why you came over here. That was the major theme. It wasn't how Jesus got from one side to the other. It was, why did the people follow him to the other side? Why were they following him? And so Jesus turns the question around and says, well, what you're asking isn't profitable for you because you're just asking questions. Let's talk about the real profitable thing here. It's why you followed me. And Jesus tells them in verse 26, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So even if Jesus did say, I walked upon the water, they'd say, oh wow, that was amazing. So about those fish and that bread that you made us yesterday, that's what they wanted. It wasn't even that he multiplied the food. And it wasn't that he healed the sick. It was that they wanted food. And Jesus was providing it for them. A lot of people follow Jesus for things. And they wanted material possessions Jesus could provide for them. And so they follow Jesus for things. There are people who will go to churches and to get things. And then when the things dry up, they'll leave. And they will go and try to get as much as they can. And when they can't get any more, then they'll go somewhere else and start all over. They follow Jesus for things, for possessions, for stuff. Now, no doubt they were poor and needy. If you had a bunch of bread to eat at home, you wouldn't walk all the way around the Sea of Galilee to get some more. But they were hungry, no doubt. And they were in need, no doubt. They traveled a long way to find the disciples. It took a long time for them to find Jesus, but they were walking all that way for supper. And the Lord knew their hearts. And now he's going to expose their hearts. You know, you don't do anybody any favors by letting them continue to deceive themselves. And the Lord is not going to flatter the people here to make them happy. And John 6, if no other chapter in the Bible could prove it, John 6 proves it, that the Lord is not going to flatter people to tell them what they want to hear and what they want to know, or not tell them what they want to hear in order to make them happy. He would be a terrible teacher, a terrible Lord, if he did that. Now, they called him rabbi or master, and that's what they called the teachers, because, you know, a teacher is a master of a subject, so that's what that means. And they called him teacher, but as you'll see, they didn't really want him as a teacher either. You know, the people would follow him for different reasons, and like we looked at earlier, they said, you must be that prophet. When they saw what he did, but they didn't call him the prophet when they heard what he said. Here, they called him teacher when they saw what he did, but they're not going to call him teacher when they heard what he said. The doctrine that Jesus preached and that Jesus taught was not palatable to men. And he exposes the hypocrisy of many of these people that were following him in this chapter. And so he doesn't flatter them, and he doesn't just feed them what they want to hear so they'll keep coming back. And hopefully, sooner or later, they'll come to him. But he tells them the hard truths that they need to hear. Now, I can't know your heart this morning, but the Lord knows your heart. And that's the only thing that matters, is the Lord's. Are you saved? The Lord knows your heart. You know, it doesn't get you any points for tricking me, and it doesn't get you any points for tricking anybody else. The question is, why are you following Christ? And that's the question that you need to ask yourself. Are you trusting in Christ? Are you following Christ? And that's what he's asking the people here. Why are you following me? Why are you following after me? Well, Jesus knew why. Because they wanted bread. So he turns it on in verse 27 and says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So they had come for meat, just a general word for food. That's why they had come. They came for food. They came to eat stuff. And, you know, people will do that even today. Come for food. Or they'll come for one reason or another. Has nothing to do with Christ. But, you know, for whatever reason, people will come. Some love Christ. Some love the Word of God. But sometimes people will come for just whatever different reasons. And here Jesus says, you are laboring for meat which perish. Now, Jesus was not saying you need to quit your job and that way you won't be laboring for meat that perish. That's not the point that he's making. In the same instance where he said that, you know, to cut your right hand off or poke your eye out, it's better to go through life maimed than enter into hell whole. He wasn't instructing people to mutilate themselves, where he says you have to hate father and mother. He's not telling you to hate your parents, but he's making a spiritual point here that the spiritual reality of our life, your soul, is of greater importance than your life. It's of greater importance that you know Christ than it is that you have your belly full. It's of greater importance that you know Christ and that you have repented and trusted in Him than it is to have physical health. So Jesus made that very clear on the Sermon on the Mount, that the spiritual is the most important. And why is that? Because that meat is going to perish. Your food is going to perish. This body is going to perish. Everything in this whole world is going to burn up. But your soul is going to live on forever and ever and ever. In eternity, we'll be beyond time, but if we just because we have to think in time now, a million years from now, when this earth has been burnt up and melted and recreated, this whole earth is going to look a lot different. And everything in it is going to be gone and recreated. Every valuable piece of art is going to be melted in a fervent heat. Every building, every house, every farm, every mountain, every river, everything is going to be recreated. But your soul will still be around. Your soul will still be around. And so to labor and to dedicate your life to things which perish, eventually going to perish, is being foolish. It's building your house upon the sand. And so Jesus said, you have come all this way. You took the time to walk all the way around the Sea of Galilee to the other side because you wanted something to eat. You took great effort to come all the way over here. You took time. It's hard to say how long it took them to get there. How many hours it took them. It took the disciples all night to get there, and that was by boat, and half the ride was a miracle. That Jesus brought them over instantly. So I don't know how long it took the other people to get there, but they took a lot of time to get to where Jesus was. It took a lot of effort to get where Jesus was because that's what they wanted. They labored for what they wanted. They dedicated themselves to what they wanted. And what did they want? They wanted food. They wanted to fill their belly. Jesus is telling them they're spending all their efforts on what they want. But what they wanted was to feed the flesh, and they didn't care anything about their soul. And people will do what they want to do. And you can tell what people really want by how they live their life. And what Jesus is saying here is not that you're not to work in order to eat, because the Bible also says if you don't work, you don't eat. But what Jesus is having them think about all the work and all the labor that you put in to get because you wanted some bread. And yet you come to me not seeking salvation for your soul. You spend all this time and all this effort and all this energy and all this care and worry and longing for the temporal. It doesn't matter, but you don't care about your soul. You cared more for the temporary food than you did for your soul. They cared more for the things of this life and getting what they could while they could than they spent the time to think about eternity. That whole trip looking for Jesus, seeking for Jesus, what did they want? They didn't want to hear Him preach. They didn't want to hear Him expound the law of God. They didn't want Him to save their souls. They were thinking, I need some more of that food. We follow Him around, we're going to be fed. We're going to be taken care of. No more hungry nights. We need to find Him. And their heart was set on that. And so their body followed the actions. Isn't that true of just many of we've already seen in the Gospel of John? The man that was laying there by the water, waiting for the water to be stirred, he wanted to be healed. And so what did he do? He laid there by the water, hoping to be healed in the water. That's what he wanted. That's what his heart was set on, so that's what he did. These people wanted food, and that's what their heart was set on. So what did they do? They went to where Jesus was, hoping that they'd get some more food. They labored. They worked. Their life was showing what they wanted. He said, labor not for this which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Jesus is saying, I believe, to look to Him and be saved. To have faith in Christ for the saving of your soul. So, well, why does it say labor? Why does Jesus say work for that bread? Well, that faith in Christ is evidence of how you treat that meat. Okay, so they wanted bread. So they put in a lot of work to get to that bread. Now, why did they go on the other side? Because they knew that Jesus had already provided miraculously, right? They knew that He could do that. They experienced that. They knew that Jesus could feed them if Jesus wanted to feed them. And so in their hearts, they knew that Jesus could provide them bread, and that's what they wanted. So in their bodies, they worked out what they believed, and they worked out their desires. So in their heart, they wanted bread. In their minds, they knew that Jesus could do that. So they walked all that way or got into another boat and traveled all that way. They got in the ship and they either paid their way or their ships and they all came seeking for Jesus. Now, I don't know how many of the thousands came, but those that did come, they took effort to either go by boat or to walk or to travel, however they got over there, to find Him. And Jesus is saying to believe in Him is to follow after Him. The having faith that Christ saved your soul is more than just saying, I'm saved. It's more than a profession. Because if you truly believe that Jesus is Lord, then you're going to follow after Him. Now, when Peter was in that boat and Jesus was walking the sea, Peter believed in Christ and then he followed Him out on the water. Jesus bid him come and he got out in the water and walked out in the water with Jesus. He had faith in Christ and his actions were manifested by his faith was manifested by his actions. He believed that Jesus could save and keep him, and so he followed Him. They believed that Jesus was going to give them something to eat, and that's what they wanted, so they followed Him. But if Jesus hadn't, and they didn't think that He was going to feed them food, then they wouldn't have come, because that's not what they wanted. They wouldn't have labored to follow Jesus as Savior. They wouldn't have followed after Jesus as the teacher or as the prophet. They didn't care about that. They didn't want that. So Jesus is questioning their motives here. You do all this to feed your belly, but you wouldn't do all this to come to me as Savior. You would travel across the sea to get some lunch, but you wouldn't walk across the street to hear me preach. you wouldn't walk across the street that I might save your soul. So that's what he's pointing out here. The people were doing what they wanted to do, and Jesus saw through their disguise. He saw through their masks. I heard one preacher say this week, he said, I don't know why many Christians are complaining about wearing masks in services. He said, you've been wearing masks for years in church. You've been play-acting for years, wearing a mask of a different sort. Pretending to be what you're not was his point. And that's what was happening here. These people were masking themselves. And that's literally what a hypocrite is someone who is playing the part of something that they're not. And they said, oh, rabbi, oh, teacher, when comest thou? How'd you get over here, teacher? But he was no more their teacher in heart than anything else, because they didn't have faith in him. And Jesus saw through that and saw who they really were, and he called them on it. So it is to have faith in Christ. They worked hard to get free food because that was what was important to them. But would they travel the same distance for the Word of God? A few weeks ago, the governor announced a grants program for small businesses. And the help desk that was set up for those grants received thousands and thousands of calls and emails over the period of a day or two for people trying to get that money. They were waiting on hold for hours to talk to somebody to help them to fill out those applications. And you know, if they're eligible to get that, you know, more power to them. That's not the point. The point is that's what they wanted. They wanted that, and they were ready and willing and able to work for it and to wait for it and to sit on hold for hours for it. But my guess is the vast majority wouldn't be so eager to hear the Word of God. How many people will work and labor and strive for the things of the world, but then not give a thought to their soul? The evidence of the faith here is laboring for the meat. Don't. And that's what the Word of God says, that you know, don't just show me, or don't tell me you're a child of God. I can see that, you know, show me by the works. The evidence of the faith is laboring for the meat. You wouldn't labor for food that you didn't want and you didn't need. Boy, but you'd do a lot if you were hungry. You would do a lot if you were hungry. Now, if you had, we'll just take for example some of the countries overseas where children are literally starving to death. And you've seen videos and pictures of children who are rummaging through the trash, trying to find something to eat. And they have their swollen bellies, and they're just no meat on them. They're starving to death. I doubt any of us would go, you know, it'd be a long while before any of us would be digging through trash to find something to eat. You know, we'd have a long way to go from this point now until we were that hungry. But if you're hungry enough, you'll do a lot of work to get that food. And that's why the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And, you know, somebody says, well, I can't work. You know, I'm not able to work. Well, let them be hungry for a couple days, and we'll see how much they can't work anymore, right? A couple days of being hungry, your belly will motivate you to do something. Well, they were hungry for food, and they did something. That's what they wanted, and they did something. But there was no spiritual hunger. And they wouldn't labor for Christ unless they desired that. So this text is not saying that you work for your salvation. But this text is saying that those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness will be filled. You wouldn't labor for food that you didn't want or you didn't need. And so back to my point, we're not going to go rummaging for food because we're not that desperate for that. We've got food at home. But if you were desperate for that, you would do that in order to survive. Well, a person is not going to go labor for something they don't want. And a person is not going to labor for Christ if they don't want Christ. But a person who wants Christ will labor for Him. And why would you labor for Him? Because you've been born again. Because you have life. I've had to teach my children many, many things in their life. But one thing I never had to teach them be hungry. They were hungry from the second they came out of the womb. They were hungry, and they haven't stopped being hungry ever since. I didn't have to teach that. Well, why are they hungry? Because they have life. You worry about people who aren't hungry because that's something that is inherent in life. It's needing the food, right, to eat. I didn't have to teach them to hunger for food. That they wanted it. Even if they couldn't even explain what they wanted, but they knew what they wanted before they could even put it into words what they wanted. Why do people hunger and thirst after Christ? Because they've been born again. They've been given life. And the child of God knows Christ if that's all that he knows. He knows that Jesus is his Savior. And he hungers after Christ. And he labors after him to follow him and to hear him and to pray to him. And to read his word and to be where he is at. And so Jesus is calling them unto salvation, unto life. They didn't want Christ because they didn't know Christ. They didn't have any life. But those who are born again are laboring for the meat which never perishes, that enduring meat unto everlasting life. And the end of this chapter evidences that, where Jesus said, "You guys going to leave too?" And Peter said, well, where else are we going to go? Where else are we going to go? You're the only one that can save our souls. You're the only one that can give us eternal life. Even if we wanted to go somewhere else, which we don't, where could we go? Now, God's sovereignty and salvation doesn't take away man's responsibility. Jesus calls his people to labor for that meat, to labor unto Christ. And what would that be? Well, that would be hearing Christ and following him and reading of Christ and praying. These are all things that the Word of God commands us to do. Jesus is telling us there's a way to be saved and there's a way not to be saved. There's a path of life that will save your soul, and there's a path of life that will lead to destruction. He's telling us that salvation is more than just repeating a phrase. It's more than just praying a prayer. It's more than being dunked under the water. That it is following after Christ and to love Him and to follow Him as Lord and Master. The labor is not working in the salvation. It is the gift of Christ, as it says there. So he says, labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So how do you get this meat? It comes from the hand of the Son of God. That miraculous bread didn't come from the hand of the Son of God. It came from the hands of the disciples, didn't it? The disciples are the ones that passed out that meat. Well, this bread will come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift of Christ. It's not conferred upon you by me or by anybody else. It's not. There's no mediator between you and God other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Son of Man that shall give you this meat. It is the Son of Man that will give you this life. It is the Son of Man who will give you eternal life. It is the gift of God. It is God's gift. By God's grace, He saves sinners. And just as it was a gift that God gave all these hungry people food the day before, it is a gift that God will give salvation and eternal life to all those who hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He wasn't telling them to prepare themselves for salvation or to become good so that he'd save them. He told them they were laboring and working towards an end that would ultimately perish. He said, you need to turn the other way. Your life is leading to destruction. And you are going to die. And you are going to go to hell. Because all you care about is what's in this life. And you don't care about your soul. You don't care about sin. You don't care about righteousness. You don't care about the holiness of God. All you care about is what you got going on right now. But you need to turn and seek not for the temporal, but seek the Son of Man who gives life and labor and come to Him. And He will give you rest. Trust, put your trust in Christ to receive that enduring salvation. Now, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will forgive you your sins. He will wash you clean and give you everlasting life. And you can see that evidenced today by a great many people who will do a great, they'll do a lot of things, but they'll have a lot of excuses about following Jesus. These people did a whole lot for what they could get now. But they wouldn't put that effort in just to hear Jesus, to hear His word. If we were giving away $1,000 to everybody that came in the door, how quick do you think the parking lot would fill up? Just $1,000 to anybody who comes to church. Well, there'd be, the building couldn't contain. We'd have to have 7 or 8 different services to fill the people in. Because that's what they want. They want the things in this life. I heard a while back that in communist China, where churches are illegal, they were paying people over $1,000 to rat Christians out. And if you knew of a Christian where it was illegal, and you told, they give you $1,000. I wonder what would happen if that happened today, if churches were illegal, and we'd probably get sold out for $150, right? It wouldn't take very much, would it, because why? Because people love money. They love possessions. They love things. And as long as money and possessions and things are on the same track, going side by side with the church, well, then everything's fine. But what happens when the church goes one direction and the things that we want go another? What happens when Christ tells us to forsake, but the things we want are going the opposite way? When those tracks don't run side by side, well, then that's when people have very hard decisions to make. And that's where it's sort of revealed what we're laboring after. What are you laboring after? Why do you follow Christ this morning? Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him the Father hath sealed. Why are you following Christ? Well, look what happened. He said that. And they said, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said, the labor. And they said, okay, well, what do you want us to do? We'll do whatever you want us to do. Just tell us and we'll do it. Well, they didn't understand, did they? Because they were saying, okay, we'll do whatever. We'll follow you. We'll give to the poor. We'll hand out blankets to cold people on the streets. Just tell us what you want us to do and we'll do it. And then we can get supper started. Well, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. What's the work of God here? Well, the work of God is you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith in Christ. It's not turning your life around. It's not doing good works or doing good deeds to make God love you. It's to believe on the Son of Man. It's to look to Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sins and lifted up there upon the cross and endured the wrath of the Father as a propitiation, as the atoning one, the atoning victim for our sins, that he might expiate our sins and take our sins away from us, and that he would give us his righteousness, that we are both clean and forgiven and pardoned and justified and righteous in his name. And as he rose from the dead, we have that proof and hope that we have everlasting life, because he lives bodily in the flesh. And he ascended into heaven on the right hand of the Father, and he will return. And by trusting Christ and believing that he died for your sins, you have this meat that endures, that will never end. You have a life that will never end. That the things that will perish, but you're not going to perish. This world is going to perish. The buildings are going to perish. All the money is going to perish. All the gold is going to perish. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not going to perish. You are not going to die and be burnt up. You are going to have everlasting life. And you are going to be with the Father. And that meat is going to endure through all eternity. How unwise it is to put all of our hopes and our works and our life and effort into a temporary thing that's not going to last, when Christ says, come to me and I'll give you eternal life. How foolish would that be? Crystal and I rented a house one time, and there were some things that were just in disarray, and we told the owner about these things in disarray, and he said, well, you can fix them if you want to. And we kind of laughed and thought, well, I'm not going to pour thousands of dollars into some place I'm going to live temporarily that doesn't belong to me. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? That'd be foolish to pour thousands of dollars into renovating a rental home that you're only going to be there for a couple months. It'd be foolish to go and get a hotel and you get in there and say, well, I don't like these blankets. I'm going to go and buy some blankets. I'm going to get a coat of paint and paint it up. And while I'm here for this week, make it look nice. Well, that'd be foolish, because it doesn't belong to you, and you're going to leave and never come back. So we spend our whole lives getting and working and laboring for things that's only going to be here for a little while. You say, well, that's my whole life. Well, compared to what? Compared to eternity? Compared, how long is 70 years compared to a million? How long is 70 years compared to a billion years? If you want to draw a scale, now you could draw a scale of 70 years and say, well, okay, I'm 40 years old, and if I'm going to live to be 70, where am I at on that scale? And you can measure that out and say, well, if I live to be this long, this is about how long I've got left. Now, extend that scale to eternity. Okay? Start it right here, and that scale will go out the door, and it'll go down to Clay, and then it'll go down to Clendenin, and to Elkview, and to Charleston, and just keep on going. And it'll go down to North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia and Florida, and just keep on going. It's a big scale, isn't it? And 40 years doesn't, 4 inches doesn't seem like a lot. You know, it might seem like a lot on the 12-inch ruler. 4 inches. But how much is 4 inches on 1,000 miles? That's what I'm trying to illustrate here, that your life compared to eternity is just a blink of an eye. And to spend all of your existence upon this life laboring for temporary things and to ignore eternity is detrimental. It's peril. Jesus said, labor not for that which perishes, but for that which is everlasting. Christ will give you everlasting life. He will give you life eternal. Well, you have a glorified body to live with him forever and ever in a new heaven and a new earth without sin and destruction and tears and pain and sorrow. And the alternative is that you pay for your sins that you're judged according to your works and you pay for your sins and that you're judged throughout all eternity. Was it a loving thing for Christ to call him out of the most loving thing that he had ever done for him? At this point, this is these people needed to hear the truth about themselves a whole lot more than they needed lunch. And that's the same for all of us. Even if you're saved this morning, you need to hear this and be reminded of eternal life and what we need to be living for and what's more important than the temporary things. So when we go out into the world, we remember and have these things in perspective of what we're living for and who we're serving and why. Do you know Christ? Are you following Christ? If so, why? Do you love him? Do you know him as Savior? I pray that you do.